Well, we are in the book of Kings and King Solomon. So of course, King Solomon is the son of King David and he inherited the kingdom. And we see the things happening here. This man, he has asked for the wisdom and God granted him the wisdom. And then and all that the Lord has asked of him, we read from chapter 9, verse 6 to 9, that the demand of obedience from Israel. So God now has blessed Israel with a king. War ceased, no wars, no attacks. These people, just amazing how God has provided these things for the people of Israel. But their king was given wisdom, great wisdom, very great wisdom, and a wisdom and also security, prosperity, that the queen of Sheba said in chapter 10, verse 8, happy are your men, happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. And this wisdom was coming from God, was provided to God's people to help them. The king was just like serving his own people. The wisdom from God, the fame that went out, that God has done marvelous things for his own people. God, who has made the covenant with his own people, is blessing them. And now all the kings of the earth are just coming to bring tributes to King Solomon. When we look into the Bible, we need to look just like really into the context. So, but sometimes we are clouded with what comes after. We know King Solomon was going to really make a terrible mistake, isn't it? He's going to do something really terrible. He's going to turn away from God. But here, God is not to be blamed for that. God was fulfilling his covenant, was blessing his own people. And he is in a covenant with them. He gave them requirements. He asked them to obey him. Obedience is what God requires. He wants to bless his own people. But we know with the blessing comes the danger of leaving the blesser and just going away, running away with the blessings. And I think as humans, we have that tendency. And many of our problems, they just come with that. But sometimes we blame God. That is why I said here, last Sunday I said, if I'm ever going to make it to South Sudan, my first year will be to preach about repentance. Repentance, like to obey God and to honor him and to fear him. Because it's God who has called us to a blessing. So this is a blessing. Happy are men who will just live under such this covenant, isn't it? Even we as Christians, what a blessing just to be, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to have all the pronouncement, even our brother Doug declared earlier, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And there's nothing that you can do yourself, can buy your way out, like God has done it. Christ has done it all. And all that we need to do is to obey and to be humble. So all that we have just read and Michael read for us was the display of the glory of God, was a display of what God has done. And as he was doing this, also he was sending a message to all the kings around that there is nothing compared to the thing that God will do himself. You see, even this man was just like making the throne, because these kings around him, they were just like competing, isn't it? My throne is the greatest, my wealth is the greatest, my wisdom is the greatest of all and people. So the people of the East, just like that. Well, now in Jerusalem, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Yahweh, you see, surpasses all the kingdom, you see. So the wisdom he gives surpasses all the wisdom of the kings around. You see, are you rejoicing the fact that you have been brought into a relationship with king, with the king of the whole universe, whose wisdom surpasses all wisdom? You can live under any regime, under any philosophy today that may claim they have the best way to live and the best thoughts to live by, you see, and the best development you can ever experience, and compare to a people living under God. You see, it's compared, it's incomparable to really the things of this world. People are so fascinated about their achievements and developments and advancements. But yeah, they might be good, but when we just take them as and turn our back to God, that is where the danger lies. That is what we see with King Solomon. King Solomon, God has blessed him amazingly to the point that all kings of the earth sought Solomon. You see, all these men, they sought to come before King Solomon to see him, bringing yearly tributes. And actually, if you look at Psalm 72, it is speaking of God's people. When God really blesses them, this is what happens. 72 verse 10. May the kings of the Tarshish and of the coast lands render him tributes. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him. Give the king your justice. You see, so this king was praying, King Solomon, that when God blesses him like this, all these people will come and bring tributes. That is Psalm 72 and verse 10. And so we see even the scripture is full of the references to how God would, when he blesses his own people, when he blesses the king on the throne, and then all the other kings will come and will bow down before him. So Queen of Sheba came to really pay tributes to Solomon. And even she was like trying to test the wisdom that was associated with God in the King Solomon. So how can you test God? How can you test God and you think that you can overcome God in his wisdom? No, it never happens. And so even in our daily today, as our daily walk with God, as God's people, and so whenever God speaks to you, it's significant, isn't it? Is wisdom from God himself. You don't have to be a King Solomon to have the wisdom of God. You see, through the wisdom that comes from heaven, we have access to that wisdom through Christ our Lord. Because it's heavenly and it's peaceful and is when we ask through Jesus, we receive that. And so this lady, she came, she found out that so this man, King Solomon, was amazing. So the things that he has built were amazing. Food on his table was just surpassing all the food they were eating themselves. The seating of his officials, just incredible. So just God was just saying, really, what I do will not be compared to anything that will happen. And even we speak of the Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, isn't it? So this thing, I believe, is eschatological, isn't it? So it's pointing to something glorious. So we might not be having that today, but that is what we have been promised. The kingdom of Christ will surpass all the kingdoms of earth. And all the believers will shine and will reign, will be glorified, isn't it? And so is this something that is pointing to that? Because the response of these women, she said the words she heard, she has never heard them anywhere. The wisdom she experienced was not found anywhere else. The prosperity she saw was her own eyes. And then she acclaims and she said, happy are these men. I think this is a point of application, isn't it? You see, how many sad Christians today, how many sad Christians in our day today who are not rejoicing, who have no joy at all, even living under this. Even, you see, Jesus is referred to this text. He said, people came from very far to see the wisdom of Solomon, but greater than Solomon is here, isn't it? Greater than Solomon is here. So the one in whom we live and we move, Jesus Christ, is greater than Solomon. So that means his words, if we speak his words, if we live by his words, so there is no any other words that we missed or we need. Isn't it? That is why whenever we meet as Christians, we should not depart from our gathering without mentioning the words of Christ. And so this is one of the most, this is the frustration of many of fine South Sudanese Christians. They just don't like any gatherings. There will be no mentions of the words of Christ himself. It kills us. Because it doesn't say that we really enjoy this. That we are so special in this way. That there's no any other words we should use. Jesus says, even the Bible says that we speak to one another with psalms and songs, isn't it? If there is anyone to think about now and then, it's Christ our Lord. To fill our minds, because what he has done for us, no one ever could have done it for us. To remove our sins and to make us a kingdom and priest. Kingdom to rule, to have authority over the forces of darkness, and also to pray, priest, to pray. I always say I'm a product of prayers of other people. I always say this. I do value the prayers of every Christian because I know it's a priestly prayer and it's going directly to our God. And God moves. If you want to really even check whether you are a true believer or not, pray for other people. Because that declares love, isn't it? Declare that you die. You see, you are someone who is just going to the front line to fight for your brothers and your sisters, isn't it? Yeah, so what I see here, the throne that this man has made was pointing in somehow to the throne of God himself. You see, because they say the throne that he has built, the like of it was never made in any kingdom. You see, so it's just like a display of glory. And let us not just think that Solomon is just doing this thing is beyond himself. You see, he didn't ask for all these things. You see? And also even the wisdom that he has with which he did these things is not his wisdom. It's from God. So what are we going to make out of all this stuff? Well, again, chapter 9 and early verses of chapter 6 explain to us what we have here. All that matters is the obedience to the Lord. That is chapter 9, verse 6 to 9. That is what he says. But if you turn aside from following me, and the Lord knows that Solomon is going to encounter all these blessings, but the danger is if you turn away. Is the Lord is blessing us in our own days? Are there any rich Christians? Yes. Who gave them all this money? God. Is it? Is the Lord himself? So is the problem is the money? No, it's not the money. The love of the money. That is the root of all evil, isn't it? Do you know with the money that are from God and are handled in the fear of God can do wonders? Yeah. Jesus uses money to buy food, isn't it? For the people, isn't it? He uses money to pay taxes. You see? And if we think in money in coins, well, you know, in South Sudan, money were cows and cattle and farms, isn't it? And still there were wealth that could be used for the good of others. And so all the wealth of this earth are from God and are meant to bring glory to God, isn't it? I lament the fact that I got a message yesterday and I felt bad about this, but I think my sin is not to trust God more and pray more about this. My friend Peter Lam is very sick. He's really sick. This man can die any time. Can die any time because he has no place to live and he got a lot of coal on his body and it's not good. And I felt really bad about it. And I say, here this man of God who loved the Lord God so much, and he is giving himself fully to serve God. And here he can't just even find a bed to sleep on that may cost him only $150 Australian a month. I say to myself, there must be something wrong here. So when I see that, just imagine if you live under Solomon, will you lack anything? Just imagine. If the King Solomon is your king, will you lack anything in this kingdom where all these things are brought here? In the account here, I have never seen that there was a single person in his kingdom that was in want. And actually, we have the scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And we will only be in want because God's people, they close their eyes to hear the Lord, because the Lord speaks. One of the things, we don't need people to come and ask us things. We need to hear the Lord. If we are in fellowship with the Lord, really, he will prompt us to do things that we would not have done in any other way. But the problem, your problem, my problem, is to hear the Lord, hearing the Lord, and being about his business and what he's doing. So here, King Solomon will fall into this trap later because he will turn away from the Lord. But if you turn aside from following me, you or your children, and do not keep my commandments and my status that I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land that I have given them and the house that I have consecrated for my name. I will cast out of my sight, and Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And this house will become a heap of ruins. How many houses of God that have been turned into brothels and been taps? You see? Because that would be really something very dangerous. It's still bad. Houses of God were turned into mosques. It's just incredible. Just because God's people's hearts have been turned away, then they will say, because they abandoned the Lord their God who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore the Lord has brought all this disaster on them. And the disaster is going to happen. Well, let me turn quickly. I just want to stop here. I don't have a lot to say about this, but you can remember the fact that Solomon was not responsible about all this happening. God was showing forth his power and his glory among all other nations. And they felt the fact that the God of Israel is the God to be reckoned with, because the wisdom he gives surpasses all the wisdoms of others. And I made this connection, like we should be even far more happier than all the people on this earth, because we live under Christ. We live under a king who has disarmed, in Colossians 2:15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him on the cross of Calvary. What Jesus was doing, he was defeating all the kingdom of the earth. You see? Through the cross. Isn't it? That is what really the Bible says. He disarmed the rulers. Or the forces of darkness. You see? He disarmed them so that he can make for himself a people who will be powerful, who will have dominions over Satan in his name, because that is what happens. We will cast evil, we resist evil, and he will flee from us if we fight lawfully, isn't it? And so in Africa, where really witchcraft is rife, is powerful, the witchcraft can never affect those who are born of God, isn't it? So it's just a reality, you see, and it's powerful. They do ugly things, this fourth of darkness, Satan. So Satan is powerful, but has no power over Christ. So Christ himself, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame. You see? And we can say the same. King Solomon, in his time, obviously every king was feeling a bit of shame, isn't it? Because here comes a king who surpassed in everything, in wealth, in wisdom, and in power. You see? So here I said, the glory of God revealed. In this text, we have seen how God has demonstrated this. So how can we finish right now? So I will want to finish with a prayer. And the prayer is along the lines of the fact that really our God is waiting to be gracious to us. Our God wants to bless us. We saw the glimpses of his blessings over these men. And that was, and there was rest in his time. No war, so no one was coming to attack them for war, isn't it? So one of the signs of God working also, you can be at rest. You see, is a blessing from God to have no wars. There might not be physical war, even spiritual wars, because we will not all go through spiritual wars at one time, isn't it? And so when you are, God is opening up an opportunity for you to overcome. Rejoice in that. It's from the Lord and for a purpose, so that you encourage those who are weak, those who are going through other wars. Even he would raise up leaders who will just encourage us, whom he will just bless enough to be free from the touch of Satan, so that he can just help his own people to be free also from the dominion of Satan. Because Satan can come and cloud our minds, our hearts. So whenever there is freedom, so just let us grab this opportunity and do good. Where there is health, rejoice and do good. Certainly there will be bad times. Always there will be bad times. But with good times, remember to honor the Lord with that. And King David, King Solomon, he is enjoying it at the moment. But what will happen in the future? So this is one of my prayers, that whenever there is peace and there is a window from the Lord, so we just use it for the glory of God. And when the wars comes, we are given weapons also to fight with. We are called to have wisdom, and we need it desperately in our own days. We live under the greatest king ever, the King Jesus Christ. He has done everything for us. He is here waiting to help us through all our battles and struggles. If we need to hear his voice, he is able to clear our ears. One of the things the enemy would want to do is want to cloud our mind and our thinking so that we don't hear the Lord. That is his desire. But let us persevere and look to the Lord. Let me pray.